think spring has finally arrived. Ooh. And we're in the middle of April, and it's been a really long, hard slog, and it's been cold and wet and miserable and snowing. Rocky finally got into the herb garden, and I've been up to the National Herb Centre, and I've got all my gorgeous Thompson and Morgan seed packets to plant. Everything's slightly behind at the moment, isn't it?
It sure is. Everything, I would say, with the weather that we've been having, the mini ice age, so much for global warming, everyone's in the same boat, really. And we've been really lucky just recently to have actually had some really dry weather. And I would say, actually, we've had a couple of showers as well. So it's more like proper April. You remember April when it used to be sunshine and showers rather than just the scorching months or just the downpours after the hosepipe ban last year. But things grow so quickly. Now the soil's starting to warm up. It's not like an ice sheet. And we can get really cracking in the garden now, and things will catch up straight away. Sometimes the later planting, later sowing is better than trying doing sowing and planting too early.
So any of the seeds that I want to put in now, such as dill or basil or sort of the caraway seeds I like to plant, they'll definitely have a chance to catch up, will they?
Yes, they definitely will. I'll just be quietly temperamental. Just be careful with the basil. Because of the weather still, it can be slightly with the overnight temperature.
I understand that with basil, you have to have a lot of warmth to get those seeds to germinate.
That's correct, yeah. And at the moment, it's still not warm enough
Hold off on my basil at the moment. Yes. Now, I've been to the National Herb Centre. I've got so many different herbs here. The things that are coming up at the moment, and the mint is all coming up.
Yes, the mint is coming up nicely. Now, what you'll find, I'm just holding at the moment a grapefruit mint. There's so many different types of mints. Mm. Obviously, you can use them in anything you can do.
It is citrusy.
Yeah, it's great. Mint's great in Pims. I love it. Pims, summer's coming. But remember, they're thugs. So their root system, they spread like crazy. So if you've got a small garden, you need to make sure they go into a container. Mm. In this garden, we put them into the thug border.
We do have a special border just for the plants that are thugs, with the lemon balm over there, and we've got the horseradish in there, and we've got
the sorrel,
and even comfrey, the daylilies,
well.
Comfrey is out there, and the borage is in there. So we've got a special, and the angelica as well, because it's huge, and it'll cope with
and
it.
And it's at the back of the border as well.
Yeah.
And these plants, as I say, they are designed to kind of take over. They're like kind of world domination. So it's quite interesting. It's got World War IV going on over in the corner, but they do really well. And it's quite a big bed. It's not a tiny bed. You have to allow the boundaries. And obviously, with a large garden, you can't really put things in too many pots because then it looks too twee and too kind of
But what
bitty.
We could do, if we wanted to, if you had a smaller garden, could you put it in a pot and then plant the pot in the ground so that the roots can't escape?
Yes, that is something you can do. But just be careful. But mint, obviously, is quite...
get out of the pot.
So the chances are it produces either a rhizome or a stolon, which will go across and it will root in, which is what you don't want.
So from a point of view of saving money, I absolutely love having the mints. It's something that I think really every garden should have mint, and that is really versatile. Obviously, everybody immediately thinks about new potatoes, but I love to chop mine up and put it in a little bit of couscous. I even chop certain mints up and add a little bit to my mashed potato. It makes a wonderful tisane as well.
Yes.
Nothing better than walking out, picking some fresh mint, throwing it in a pot. I always check for little flies because the green fly quite like it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, aphids, it's quite tolerant. As I say, it's a thug, so you don't actually notice much damage to them.
But it's a tasty thug, isn't it?
It's a tasty thug. Well, don't know about the green fly, but you never know. Doesn't do any harm, a bit of extra protein. I mean, we've got horse meat and burgers, for goodness sake. I mean, what's a few aphids in some homegrown cooking? At least you know where it's come from. It's from your own garden.
Free range organic local aphids. I just can't see it going down.
I don't know.
Terribly well in the cookery school there.
Well, I don't know. It might be a new delicacy, you know. It might be the new rage, you know. In 20 years, that's the new staple food, you know. Yeah. Meal in one, you know, you've got your protein.
I don't
and
like
your,
the idea of
vegetables.
Eating insects.
No, it's fine. Witchetty grubs. Mm.
You go first. Coming back over to mint again, I know I spotted things out about like chocolate mint, apple mint, there's lemon mint, lots and lots of different varieties. They really are very, very different. And the spearmint and the peppermint and the Norman, mint. Very different, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all slightly different in their flavours. As I say, for sauces and stuff, I mean, you'll be the person to know exactly the right one for which, because
like
you're the expert.
Apple mint for gravy, for lamb.
Yes, apple mint is one of the strongest ones and the most tastiest for the Sunday roasts. And it's really easy to get hold of as well. I always find it slightly more woollier in its leaf than like the spearmint.
It's got a lot of a furriness to it.
Yes.
Right, anybody who doesn't want to spend a lot of money and wants to go out and get some mint, if you've got a friend who's got some in the garden, how do you propagate from a root?
Right, really easy. Just dig up a clump. I probably, rather than go for the centre, I'd go for one that's going towards the edge because that's where the vigour's going to be. And also it's not going to make a massive hole in your friend's plant. So basically with a spade, just give a bit. It's no rocket science. Textbooks make it sound like, oh, you got to be so, you know, particular about certain things. So just cut through a section of it. And then the way to do it is just take that bit of soil. If you don't want to take the soil with you and you think you're going to leave a massive hole and you've got no soil to replace in the friend's garden, get a bucket of water and just kind of just soak it if it's weight's a problem so you can get all the soil off the roots. But then just keep it sealed up in a bag. Until you get home with those roots. And basically what I would do is with those roots, just tease them apart and then stick them into another pot with some soil and you can't really go wrong.
Any particular type of soil? Will mint grow in absolutely anything?
Well, I would say...
does it do well in a better quality soil? Or does it like something really poor and...
To be honest, it likes a rich soil, I would say, to be honest with you. But I mean, most of the soils around here are quite clay anyway, so in Northamptonshire, and that's very high in nutrients, and so it will do really well. It's probably not one that likes to dry out too much, and like some other herbs, you think of thyme and rosemary and lavender, they like the Mediterranean kind of
loamy kind of soil.
Yeah, quite loamy, and something that's, you know, will retain the moisture. You don't want it to dry out too much.
So in terms of maintenance, what do we do to look after mint?
Well, to mint, I always say don't let it flower. Sometimes you can let it flower and then with most herbs, if you let things flower, you tend to lose the intensity of the flavour in the foliage and they become bitter, like with sage. So I probably won't let it flower. But I mean, the bees and butterflies love it. So it's in abundance. It's one of those fail-safe herbs. If you don't have a lot of time, to be honest, if it flowers, don't worry too much about it.
Well, the bees love that. And I mean, that's one of the things, you know, gardening organically, it doesn't need any pesticides. It's one of those, I mean, never ever seen anything other than my children who can decimate a mint plant. It's pest free in many ways, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it gets the green fly, as we were saying earlier, occasionally. But to be honest, you might get some slugs slugs do like it. I had some at home and it got devoured last year, but obviously being April being completely a wet month. So just be a bit with young plants, I would say, if you're just growing them for the, that's when you want to watch them, so that, you know, for slugs and things like that, so at least they can get the foothold in the soil first.
The other thing I have noticed on mint, and it's not happened here yet, but I had something called rust on my mint once.
Yeah, rust, you can get rust, that's a fungal problem. Like with most things last year, things got rust really badly. Things like hollyhocks, they're a waste of space, to be honest with you. Then they're great, but with
you did chop them all down, Rocky.
Yeah, because of all the rust. And the thing is with rust, being a fungal, it spreads with the rain. It can spread with the wind, and it can spread onto other plants as well. And it can all get cross contaminated.
The advice really is to dig them up or burn them or get rid of them.
Yeah, don't compost them. If you've got anything fungal, it could be anything for any plants like mildew or rust or any kind of fungal problem, don't compost it. Just either put it into your recycling bin that, you know, the council would take away, or just burn it if you want to.
The thing with mint is that I really like is that you can pick it from very early on. It's one of those herbs you can get out in the garden and get really, really early on, and it goes all the way through the year. But for me, I notice that there's a point where it, like you said about don't let it flower, about June, July time, where I literally have to cut it right back down to the base and it will start growing those lovely, lovely, soft, minty, gorgeous leaves. Because it can get a bit, what's the word, camphorous?
Yeah. It's kind of those...
And tough and old.
Yeah, and like most people, you don't want to be, you know, it's like... lamb's better, isn't it, than old like sheep meat, I would
yeah,
say.
Absolutely.
It's tenderness.
No, tender, small, that. Young. Keep cutting it back and it will keep coming back
so
again.
So it's a thug, you can be a thug too. Get the machete out, only kidding, no.
I do have two machetes in my pantry from Grenada. We could have a go with the... I know.
Don't tell health and safety.
Cutlass. People always look quite astonished at my pantry with the cutlasses in. Right, back down to mint here.
No, it's all right. Can I just mention something earlier on? You were just saying about mint, you know, cutting it back. And also, a lot of people don't know about in the winter as well, like when it goes dormant. When it used, you think it's gone in the winter and you're like, oh, I wish I could have some mint with my potatoes at Christmas. Thing is, you need to dig up, like I was saying with that root that we were saying earlier on, dig up some of the roots, pop them on, bring them inside and grow them on a windowsill. Much better than getting them from
a supermarket.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, that thug. And because they're all imported and everything, so all the time, and they're so easy to grow.
They are imported. In fact, I was looking in the supermarket the other day and it got to me, and I took a photograph because... the herbs that were on the shelves were all about £1 a packet. Mm. Some of them a little bit more, some a little bit less, but around about £1 a packet. But what was more interesting is they had been air freighted in, and they've been air freighted in from Egypt, from Israel and from Spain. And the thing is, from an environmental point of view, herbs is one of the few things that you can really take charge of. It can be something you ask for presents. You can put them in pots outside your door. They're very easy to grow, herbs, and mint especially. So I think from an environmental point of view, if you grow your own, it's organic, it encourages the bees, it encourages wildlife, you can bees, insects, that brings the bird songs, you can hear the birds singing out here right now.
Exactly.
So I think we got interrupted there, sorry. There's no competition there in terms of taste. The taste of your own herbs out of your garden are absolutely fantastic. You pick them at when it's the sunniest, yeah. It's got the most intense herb smell. The most intense essential oils at midday. You can preserve them, you can freeze them, put them in oil. And you can dry mint actually, which works quite well. And I actually have a whole list of how to preserve those on the blog at the moment.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
For the last thing I was just going to say actually, Rocky, is apparently mint tea is a cure for flatulence.
What are you saying, Vanessa? Right, let's eat the leaves now. No, only kidding. Actually, I went for curry last night.
It'll be a very sweet...
Okay.
We'll be sweet-smelling gardeners out here. No, it's also a cure for indigestion.
Exactly. Well, I'll cut this mint now because it's got more sugar in it now, because as soon as you cut it, then the sugar's changed, and so you lose that kind of... Like most plants, the fresher they are, so the more intense the flavour, because then the way how plants work is like the sugars will change and break down into like starches and stuff. So it's then you get that horrible like rough taste as you're on about.
Right. They are wonderful, and I can't recommend enough putting some fresh mint into a salad. Any old boring salad, a little bit of mint in there, and it just really zzzz it up. So bravo. Hooray for mint.
Hooray for mint and hooray for Pims.
Yeah, mint Pims. Yeah.
Exactly. Love it.